Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Your Half Hour Inspirational Programming, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're so happy that you've joined us this evening, and we have a very good show for you planned for tonight. I am your host. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. All right, we're going to invite the presence of the Lord into our program tonight. Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We pray now as we present a message of hope to your people that they will be receptive and that they will get something from it and will desire to take it to their family and friends and other loved ones. We thank you for that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Well, I certainly trust that you all have had a great week this week, and that you certainly look forward to, for some, perhaps a three-day weekend, and for others, possibly a four-day weekend. Depends on what type of work you're doing. Nevertheless, I trust that you all have had a very good week, a week that's been a blessing to you. We would love to hear from you all from time to time how much of an impact, if any, that this show has on your life. If you know someone who's down and out, we would love for you to tell them about this broadcast. We'd love to interact with you and do different things. So that's what we have to look forward to. You know, if someone once said, if you can look up, you can get up. So no matter what your situation is, if you're in a healthy position and you're capable of getting up, and I think that that applies to people who might feel depressed, not people who are unable to be mobile. I don't think that that applies to them. But tonight, we're going to talk about the topic of when God does it for you. When God does it for you. You know, a lot of times we get out here and we have various experiences. We want to go after something. It may be a life goal, something that we know we want to do. Could be that you want to be a lawyer. Could be that you want to be a doctor. Could be that you want to be a teacher, an athlete, professional athlete at that. And so we will sometimes give it as much as we can to prepare ourselves for that goal that we have set for ourselves. And sometimes we reach that. But there's a story about a young man who wanted to be a musician. And he did everything that he could. He prepared, but he wanted to be a professional musician. He did everything that he could possibly do on his own. He took all the lessons, the music lessons, even singing lessons. And for some reason, he just couldn't seem to break it into popularity, Hollywood. Couldn't seem to do it. And so then one day, he just decided, you know what, God, I'm going to leave it up to you. And he did. And when he did that, there was another direction that God had in mind for him. And he ended up teaching. And he became one of the most prominent music teachers that the public school system has known. And so, you know, that, and as a matter of fact, he fell more in love with that than he thought that had he gone into that professional world of being a musician and the things that may have gone with that. He felt that it may have compromised in some way or another his closeness that he had with God and family. And so he accepted that call to go in that direction. And later, after a number of years of doing that, he decided that, you know what, I don't think I want to do that anymore, you know, the professional world. But the good news is that he was called upon. He was called upon. Someone discovered him, and he ended up having a little, spending some time in Hollywood. And he realized that, you know what, I enjoyed the glamour that I had in my classroom with my students more so than I am enjoying what appears to be the limelight in Hollywood. It just wasn't the same for him. So he resorted to go back to the teaching world. And that was enough stardom. That was enough stardom for him. So when I say the good news, God gave him that opportunity to go in that direction where he could influence the lives of so many young people. And some of them can become on stage. But the life that he chose because of the closeness that he had with God, he was able to maintain that, and with family and with friends, which was really more important to him than being in front of the limelight and the light where it appeared to give the appearance of an artificial world. And that's how some people would identify it. Well, the part that he actually got to do the Hollywood version, he realized that, you know what, had I gone this route before going into teaching, I don't think things would have been the same, because I wouldn't have known how good and how much I enjoyed the teaching aspect of it, as opposed to just being on the Hollywood scene. So now he had an opportunity to experience both, and now he discovered that his true love was being in that classroom with those students and influencing their lives and making an impact, a positive impact. And he thought that that was good, and that was his enough start for him. Well, you know, there are countless stories like this. When God does it for you, when God does it for you, sometimes, you know, we wonder, why is it that I haven't reached my goal, you know, and I put maybe everything out there, an athlete, for example. I put everything out there, everything that I possibly can. I've been trying to, you know, make it in to football, to become a professional football player. I played high school football, maybe as a running back, and then I played, you know, some college ball, and I thought, sure, I'd get drafted into the pros. I thought I was good enough. You know, I prayed to God, I fasted, and why didn't God just let me make it in there? I know that I was a superstar athlete. I mean, I made all kind of records in high school, even in college. Okay, I got sidetracked with an injury that, you know, appeared to be career-threatening. But, you know, I went to rehab, and I'm okay. So, God, you know, why wouldn't God open up that door for me? You know, I'm a faithful tithe payer. I'm, you know, I don't do bad things. I try to be positive. This may be all of these thoughts and others may be running through your mind on a constant basis. And you're wondering, well, God, you know, why aren't you responding to me in the way that I want? you said you would grant me the desires of my heart. Well, you know, God does answer our prayers. And as a parent, he's looking out for our best interests. He's looking out for our best interests all the time. Just as parents that have who have children that are underage, and the parents are always trying to look out for them and also take care of them and do things that are in the child's or the children's best interest, even when the children don't know, definitely they don't know what's best for them. And as adults, God is still our parent. He's that mother, he's that father, he's that protector, he's that provider. And so, you know, we can give it all that we can. And when that door doesn't seem to open, no matter how hard you try, all you can do is give it your earnest best. And you keep on trying until you reach the conviction in your mind, in your heart, that you know what, this may not be an avenue that God wants me to travel down. And then you ask for his guidance, his direction, because, see, if God has closed that door, you know what, you're not going to open it, and nobody else can open it. That's where he has your interest. That's where he has it, you know, your interest at best for you. You know, because if you're operating within his will, then that door is not going to be a door that he's going to allow to be open for you. And just like on the other hand, if he's closed the door, you and 100,000 other men or women cannot open that door because God has done it. You know, look at the story of Noah and the ark. When that door was closed, God closed that door, and nobody could open that door. They could pound and hound and do everything else, but you can't open a door that God closes. You can't open a window that he closes. And you cannot close a window or a door that God opens. You know, so that young man, you know, ultimately started listening to some other things that had happened. He went on, graduated from college, had become a very successful insurance salesman, very successful, gotten to the point where he became an executive, married, had children, and very good life. Then he began to, you know, but football was always, you know, his love, and he supported his alumni, you know, the school where he went in college and high school. And as a matter of fact, he started hearing some stories about some of the professional athletes recently within the last couple of years. And he began to realize that, you know what, all that glitters is not always gold. You know, and he heard about the head injuries that a lot of these running backs were encountering. And just as I heard on the news my own self yesterday, I think it was, about Tony Dorsett's story. He used to be play for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, and he talked about the injuries that he sustained from all of those hits. You know, and there was one hit in particular that he felt that knocked him out, you know, got him to the point of unconsciousness. And he says today, being in his, I believe, late 50s, he's depressed. You know, he goes through these mood swings and depressions. And so he says, you know, and I'm thinking, chances are, if he had an inkling that this is what would have happened to him, during the years of glitter, you know, when he was even considering becoming a professional athlete, he probably would have changed his mind and not gone that route. Now, I know many of us love sports. I love football. It's one of my favorite sports. You know, but sports, there's risk. And many of us are aware of the risk. Maybe not the severity of it. Maybe not the severity of it because no one wants to be knocked out, you know, playing football. Now, if you're in a boxing ring, you know that there's a likelihood that you could get knocked out. You could get killed. You could knock somebody out. You could kill someone. So, I mean, these are all things to be taken into consideration when you're playing sports. You know, some sports are more deadly than other sports. And so as this young man began to, that we talked about, who aspired to become a professional football player, running back, when he heard these stories, then he began to realize that, you know, those doors that God closed for him was all about protecting and shielding him. Well, you say, well, didn't God protect, you know, doesn't God look out for all of us? And why didn't he close the door for some of these guys? Why didn't he, why did he allow them to go through this? Well, you know what? Thing that I've learned is God will not impose his will on us. You know, we have freedom, free will, free choice, and we can make the decisions that we want to make. And, you know, if you persist on it, not that God hasn't closed that door. And maybe, you know, when it gets too rough, I think we still have that choice that we can make. We can still make that choice and say, well, you know what? God, I don't think I want to, I don't want to stay out here and play this sport like I've been doing for a long period of time. You know, I've seen boxers that are out there for a long period of time, and it gets to the point where, you know, they start to encounter brain damage from having stayed too long. I was at the closed circuit TV at the time watching the fight between Larry Holmes and Muhammad Ali, and I can remember saying, you know, they need to stop this fight. They need to stop this fight. Because Muhammad Ali being my favorite fighter, I just could not watch any more of the abuse that he was taking. Muhammad Ali, in my opinion, had stayed in the ring too long. I'm surprised that the state gave him, allowed him to have a license. And, you know, I mean, all of those punches over the years, you know, there's going to be some brain damage somewhere along the way. Because, I mean, you know, you're out, you going against your opponent, you're really trying to win. You're trying to knock somebody's head off, and they're trying to knock your head off. You know, and it's a sport. It's a sport where people are entertained, and yet, you know, at the cost of the pain and punishment that, you know, somebody's going to encounter. And so you begin to ask yourself the question. Just think for a second. I want you all to meditate on this for the next 10 seconds. Is the pain worth it? For maybe the next 20 seconds, just think about that. And we're back. And so now, this is what we're looking at. We're wondering, is it worth it? Is it worth it? You know, you don't know whether it's worth it or not until you get to a point where you say, well, you know what? I played the game. And now the injuries that I've sustained, you know, gosh, if I had only known, maybe I would not have. Another athlete that was so good at his sport, Broadway Joe, many of you all know him. Joe Namath, quarterback, used to play for the Joe Namath played for the New York Jets. Well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I heard Joe Namath say that if he had known the injuries that he would have to live with for so many years after the game, there's a good chance that he wouldn't have even played the sport. And you know what? I'm not knocking sports, football, because I love it. I love it. And if I probably could have played professional sports, particularly football as a quarterback, chances are I would have. If I could have been a professional fighter, I would have. You know, it's just you love for it. But for some reason, God had other plans for me to go into a totally different direction. And, you know, there are times when I've thought about it and had some regret and wondered, you know, hey, But then the question also becomes, what's your motivation behind it? Are you seeking fame, fortune? Are you looking for the money? Is it your true passion? Is it something that you really want to do for self-gain, for self-promotion, for self-glorification? Is it something that you want to do for the glory and honor of God? There are so many questions that perhaps are asked. The heart of the matter is truly everything. And so when you look at it from a different perspective, then you know, is it to glorify God? Is it to do something to make life so good that others will learn about God through what you're doing? Or is it just that you want to be on top of the world? Well, you know, I'm not knocking whatever your decision is that you want it to be for, whether it's to honor and glorify the name of God, or whether or not you just want to do it for self-gain, for self-motivation, whatever it is. But, you know, I would say just, I can't speak to the issue of everyone or to everyone's issue or concern, but I say when you do something to glorify God, I think that there's a greater reward that comes with that, a much greater reward. You know, we're talking tonight about when God does it for you, when God does it for you. And God is, he is really so good. He's really so good. Sometimes even people who may have wanted to do something in their lives when they were younger, say it was a childhood dream to maybe become an attorney. And for some reason, you get sidetracked, you lose interest and desires for that. And then later down the road, you find yourself realizing that, you know what, I thought I had that passion for that. And then 20, 30, 40 years later, the passion somehow or another returned. And you're already in a career, operating in a career. But then this thing comes back on you. And you say, yeah, I want to be that lawyer that I thought I was. But this time, it comes back sort of like with a vengeance. And you're realizing, you say, you know what? Now I have a better idea of what type of lawyer I want to be. Because at the age of 17, I wasn't sure just to be a lawyer. But then you begin to realize over the years of maturity that there are different types of lawyers. I mean, so many different categories. And you want to specialize. You might specialize in three or four areas. But you say, well, you know what? It may be that you want to do human rights. When before, you just wanted to be a powerful lawyer for self-gain and for recognition. But now you're saying, you know what? I can even do some things because I'm so successful in this one area of my career that I could do some things even pro bono, where I'm not even charging people, but just do it because I have a greater passion, a greater calling, and that is to just help people now. You see, what God can do, how he can change the heart, because, see, if you're just doing it and your motivation is for money, then you know what? There's going to be some ego that's affected in there. There's going to be some, you never know what's going to happen. You know, and I'm not saying that we don't have good people in everything or bad in everything, but you just never know. You never know. But when you align yourself with God's will, with his program, and whenever you find that out to be whatever you discover it to be, let me tell you, there can be a big difference. It can make a major difference, one that I think that you will find contentment in, peace, tranquility. You will find passion. But if you're doing it for any other reason, particularly if it's just about the money, yeah, chances are you will make the money. You know, there's greed. And then you'll want more and more and more and more of something. You know, it just, you won't be satisfied. But when you're having a passion to help people, I think that that's one of the greatest legacies that we can leave behind. It's having a passion to look out for somebody else and to help somebody else, because that's what God makes it all about, our relationship with him and then our relationship with our fellow man. That's what it's about. So, you know, as we talk tonight about when God does it for you, when he does it for you, it's done. It's a done deal. You may have tried so many different things. You may have tried so many different ways. But you know what? And I say, don't give up. But what I'm saying is, don't give up on God. Seek him. If you have to do a fast, a fruit diet, a fasting, a vegetable diet, a juice, you know, whatever you have to do that's within your health restrictions or limitations, and you want to get the attention of God, you know, seek him. Seek him. Petition him. You know, ask for his help and say, God, show me. Show me the way. Show me the purpose. Show me what it is that you want me to do. And I can assure you, God will come to you. He will reveal it. He will put people even in your path that you had no clue. I mean, I'm telling you, God can orchestrate this thing so perfectly that only God can do it. Only God can do it. The story is told, and we're about to close out now. And in the closing, I want to share this little brief story with you. The story is told about a man had to go to a teacher, had to go to a workshop. And he was told by his significant other that a friend was going to be at that workshop. One of her colleagues was going to be at the workshop. And when the teacher got to the workshop, there must have been at least 100 to 150 people in the workshop. And the man's significant other wanted to be sure that his wife wanted to be sure that he saw her colleague. And so of 150 people, watch how God works. Watch how God works, because this was noted to be. Of all the 150 people that were at the same workshop, the man had no idea what his wife's colleague looked like, and the wife's colleague had no idea of what the man looked like, her husband looked like. And so God placed it where there was a period where there was a breakout session for one group to go in one direction, one to go in another direction. And during that breakout session, the story is told that the man was headed to the laboratory, and he looked back, and there was a woman headed in the same direction. Well, the laboratories that they were going were both filled, you know, the men's room and the women's room. And then they proceeded to go to another one at the same exact time. And so when the man looked back, the story is told, he mentioned, say, you're headed to the laboratory as well. She says, yes. And then she made a comment that got his attention, and he asked, what school were you from? And she mentioned school, and he said, oh, my wife said that you would be here, and you must be Miss X. And so she got placed, and then from there, it gave this lady an opportunity to sit with people that were with the man to make her feel more comfortable, as opposed to sitting by herself. And you see, God works the same way. He can align people right in your path. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter, just like in this case, 150 people. It could be 1,000, 1 million people. But God has his plan that he can put people right in your life. I trust this program has been a blessing to you as much as it is to me. And if it is, please get on the phone. Let somebody know that, you know what, they don't have to be down. They can trust God where they can't trace him. When they give it all to him, their lives will turn around for the better. We'll hope to see you or hear from you next Tuesday on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, where we'll do part two of a show that we did this week. If you choose to bypass next Tuesday, join us again next Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Until then, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.